Hello, everyone. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org, and we are funded by the Great Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. If you want to learn about the PNWA, go to pnwa.org. That's pnwa.org. And on that note, if you've been listening to this show for, the last 6 months, you've heard me mention the upcoming Pacific Northwest Writers Conference, which is hosted by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association. Well, that conference is only two short days away. It's going to start on Thursday, July 17th, and run until Sunday. And it is just one of the best conferences, if not the best conference in the country, certainly the largest in the Northwest, one of the bigger ones in the country, and it's just fabulous. And, well, today I have a very special guest with me. Today I have Pam Binder, the president of the PNWA, the Pacific Northwest Writers Association. And, you know, in the course of doing this show, I'll sometimes say this person or that person was in some way responsible for the show. And it's true. There's a lot of people who have been influential in my life for one reason or another. But really, Pam is the one, the very first Pacific Northwest Writers Association meeting I ever went to, said to me, I want to start a writing magazine. And I said, well, I'll do it. And the rest, as they say, is history. The next came Author Magazine, and now the show Author to Author. And Pam, well, Pam's an author herself. She's a novelist. She's a writing teacher. And she is, on top of being just a fabulous lady, also the one most responsible for seeing, well, just one of the best conferences in the country put up every year. And I'm as pleased as punched to have her with me on the show today. Pam, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. And Bill, I actually had forgotten until you mentioned it. I remember that conversation very well because we were talking about a magazine and do we want to do it print? And you said, no. And then you said you'd do it. And I thought, oh, my gosh. And it's been fantastic. I love what you've done with the magazine.
Well, thank you very much. And I sometimes, as I look back on that particular conversation, that we had rather casually outside of the meeting. And I sometimes wonder if you were just sort of saying it in passing, but at that moment in my life, I was looking for something to do and I just pounced on it like a feral cat.
And I was happy because I was very serious.
Oh, you were. Well, obviously, because we've gone ahead with it. And I think it's been a great ride. And it's brought a lot. And for me, it's brought a lot of pleasure into my life. And I think we've gotten to spread a good message to the writing community that I'm really proud of. And I want to thank you for that because you're the one who said, let's do it, who first put the idea into my head, and it's just been great, I think.
Well, you're welcome.
So as I mentioned, Pam, the conference is coming up, the Pacific Northwest Writers Conference, the PNWC. And just for the record, everybody, this is at the SeaTac Hilton, right across the street from SeaTac Airport, a little south of Seattle, Washington. And it starts Thursday. Is there still room for people to sign up if they want to?
Yeah, that's really kind of interesting that you say that, is that I'm not sure what's going on this year, but there is still room. But I have been getting calls all day long, almost solid, with people saying, oh, my gosh, I forgot to sign up. Can I still sign up at the conference? Thursday, and that's July 17th, and I said, oh, my gosh, and we're starting to have to make extra packets because of all the people that are calling, so it's pretty exciting for us, and we always make sure that we invite enough agents and editors to take care of last-minute registration people, and we certainly have a full program, so we're pretty excited. We're pretty excited with the interest. It's just kind of exploding. And this is our 59th year.
I know. I've been talking about that on the show. Next year will be the 60th. We've already got Andre Dubuque committed to come give the keynote. I think it's going to be an awesome conference next year.
Very
this
excited,
year,
I know.
This year, only yes. 2 days away. How are you doing, by the way? Are you?
Well,
do you have your head above water?
Thank you very much for asking. You know, I was wondering how this morning how I was going to do, and all of a sudden, all these volunteers started showing up at the cottage, at the writer's cottage in Issaquah, to help out. And so it's been fun, and we've had young people drop by because we're also doing this. It's our second year, and it's a free young authors event just for kids 8 to 18. And PNWA, being a nonprofit, we always are interested in bringing in young people. And so we decided to do this last year. We've expanded the program this year. And this goes on simultaneously with our conference on Thursday, but it's just for kids, and it's free from 1 to 5. And we brought in authors like Janet Wong, who she's spoken at the White House. She's actually taught in libraries across the country. She's been on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she teaches young kids. And so she's going to be one of the instructors. Jerry Swallow, who was a screenwriter for Ice Age the Meltdown.
Yeah,
he's coming
yeah.
back. We've got Margaret Stoll from Beautiful Creatures. And it's just a very packed program, and it's all free. And so kids just need to show up with their parents, and we're pretty excited. It's also at the SeaTac Hilton, so it's
okay.
So
if our listeners, it's probably the parents, not the kids, who's listening to the show. Although I don't want to presume, but I know my demographic. It's probably the moms and dads. But if they're in the Seattle area and they got a teen or younger, or even a preteen who's interested in writing, and they'd like to bring them to this. It's free, and they just show
Correct.
Up at the SeaTac Hilton and tell. They don't have to. Do they have to sign up ahead of time, or can they just show up?
Nope. No, they just show up.
Just show.
And
okay.
It's 8 to 18. What we're doing is.
And it's a one day
and younger,
thing.
It's just
right?
one
it's
day,
just
one to 5 o'clock.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's completely free. Yes. And we
That's awesome.
We're just doing. Just something that we as PNWA, we really want to encourage young people, and we didn't want there to be any kind of a cost involved. And it's at the SeaTac Hilton, very close to the lobby. It's completely separate from our big conference, which holds
right.
about 500 people. That's going to be in the convention center. So this is
okay.
a completely separate event.
Got it. So you know what I love about this, Pam, why I love the Young Authors conference that you're setting up? And by the way, nothing like that existed when I was a young author, to my knowledge. There's nothing like that. But I love it for the same reason that I actually love the Writers' Conference for adults, and that
yeah.
is that it helps break down the mystique that often sort of clouds the author's life, that often stands between someone who would like to be a writer, like to maybe do it professionally, and
mm-hmm.
and that actual experience, because for most people don't know writers,
right.
they don't have someone in their life. It's not a career choice that you can just pick, like doctor or lawyer or judge. Even it's in some ways it's even more sort of enigmatic. And I love that you're introducing this concept of what it is to be a writer to these kids at a young age, so that it can be something that if they're simply interested in. It's worth pursuing. There's no magic handshake. There's no fairy dust needed to pursue mm-hmm. that as a career. Would you say that's true?
I think you're absolutely correct. And I'm glad you're bringing in the adult piece as well, because we get people dropping
thing.
In at the Writer's Cottage. Oh, pardon?
It's the same thing, I think, for adults
exactly
who want to be
the
writers.
Same. It's exactly the same, because, you know, they think that there's something magic involved in. Basically, the only magic is do you want to write? If you can say,
yeah.
yes, I do, then you, I really believe that you're a writer, that you're a storyteller, that you, if you enjoy that piece, then I think it's like PNWA's mission to show you how you can do that simply. I wrote my first book on my lunch hour, literally, and it
wow.
became a 100,000-word book. And because you only need to write a scene by scene by scene, and it was
that's right.
it was so much fun, because when I tell people that, they go, oh, you don't have to sit down for 5 hours. I says, no, you grab the time you grab, and then you're a writer. And I just
yeah.
I think it's kind of fun to explore that at conferences, to network with other writers who are going through the similar experiences that you are, and you come away feeling very energized and empowered that, you know, my gosh, I can do this. I can do this. And,
you know,
there's so many success stories where authors who have published multiple times are still able to, that's the strength of our conference. They talk to other authors that are just starting out, and they give them encouragement, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why I like to go there now. I started going as just an attendee, and I remember the first mm-hmm. time I went to the PNWC, the conference, it was many years ago now, and I just was so energized afterwards, just being around, because I came out of my cave, you know, to actually meet other humans who were writers, and it was just great being around all these people. And now, of course, I go as a faculty member, as someone who teaches, and I love encouraging I love encouraging the writers. I love talking to them about it. And you and I have talked about this in the past, Pam, because you teach at the University of Washington, their extension program, commercial fiction class, and you teach that at the PWA also, at the cottage, the Writers' Cottage. I know you're a great teacher of the craft and the business of writing, because you really know that end of it. But you and I have talked about how even when you focus on that, as a writing teacher, you will spend, of course, I spend a lot of time doing it, but even if you don't intend to, you're going to spend a certain amount of time just telling your students, you can do this. Don't be afraid. Your voice matters. I mean, isn't that a big part of what your job is?
It is, and actually that's the part I really love, because I love taking beginning authors or authors who maybe have a first draft and, you know, talking them through all of the angst. The other thing, too, that's kind of fun is a lot of my students go on to be published, and someone goes, well, did you know in advance? I said, you know, what I know in advance is if you love writing, you're going to succeed. It's just really that simple. It's basically writing. The more you write, the better you get. And I love to tell this story that Hemingway, I heard he actually rewrote some of his scenes like 40 or 50 times. And his biographer said, was Hemingway a genius, or was the genius in the rewrite? And I believe the genius is in the rewrite. And so if that's the case, we can all do this. We can all succeed. And I love that part.
I agree, and I would say that the genius was that he had a clear idea of what he wanted, and he wasn't going to stop until he saw it. And in his case, he had to rewrite it. And it's the and one of the things I tell my students when I teach is you have to get interested in what you're interested in. You have to believe that because you're and in fact, I was just at another writers' conference, Chuckanut Writers' Conference, and I was talking to some of the faculty there, the authors, and I was saying, you know, the one thing that published, we can call them successful authors, or authors that have a career that's going now, the one thing they all have in common is that they say, if I'm interested in something, then that's all I need. That's my clue.
That's right.
And as opposed to beginning writers who are often very shy about it. Well, so what that I like this story about Kung Fu pirates, you know? Who else is going to like it? And the established author will say, that's all I need.
That's right. And the other thing, too, I was actually talking to a group of students about is that the thing that's fun is not only, you know, when you find something that you're interested in and you get excited about it and you start writing about it, the reader can actually feel that excitement. And the other thing that's fun for me to realize with my students is that there's a reason why they're writing the book, and that's whether it's a memoir or a literary fiction or a mystery or a middle grade, there's a reason why they chose that story. There's a message in there, either redemption or forgiveness, whatever it is, that's their thing. That's the thing that they're interested in, and that's their theme. And it's pretty exciting when you start, you know, a lot of students I have come back year after year, and I see them with different projects, but the excitement or the theme or the reason why they're writing that book, no matter what genre, is the same. And it becomes clearer and clearer the more they write. And that's exciting for me, to listen to that and to hear it and to see it in action.
Absolutely. The people pursuing their passions, and, you know, and a writer's conference, that's what it is. It's 500 people who all show up with their little passion, their little dream. I don't want to say little, but it's their personal one. And I'm going to be honest, there's a lot of fear at writing conferences. There is a lot of fear because, and I have to say, the PNWA, the board, of which I'm a member, but I'm speaking now about everyone who isn't me, and all the volunteers are some of the nicest people, and they're friendly, there's nothing but I want to help you through this attitude, but writers tend to be introverts. I didn't understand this until recently because I'm not an introvert, so it didn't occur to me that everyone's not like me. So, but there's a lot of introverts, and part of the reason they're scared is, and I'd like you to talk about this some if you could, is a big reason writers still go to writers' conferences is to pitch their story ideas to agents and also to editors, primarily still to agents, although, of course, the publishing world is changing. But the role of the agent and the editor still exists. It's still an important part of the process, and a lot of them come there to pitch their stories. And for a lot of them, that's kind of a nerve-wracking experience, I think. It was for me the first time I did it. So, Pam, you've been through this many times. You've had books published. You've had agents. You've pitched. What's your main advice to the writers who go to a conference, whether it's ours or someone else's, and they've got their story idea, and they're going to go sit down and pitch to this perfect stranger who is not an introvert, ever. The agent is not an introvert. Not at all.
I know.
So what is your advice to these poor people?
Well, you're so true. It's so true that most writers are introverts, and they love writing. It's actually then they have to explain what it is they're writing. It's almost paralyzing in some ways. And I'm glad that you brought up how, you know, helpful our conference is, because we understand that because we've all been in that situation. So we have built in all throughout the conference not only classes that you can actually talk, that where we talk to you about step-by-step how to pitch your novel, but there's also rooms where people can go and be with other friends and people that they've just met and actually practice this pitch. So they practice it so that when they actually meet an agent or editor, they're okay. The thing that was also fun to me last year is I had an agent come up to me, and we were talking about this whole process and how people get very, you know, paralyzed with fear about, you know, pitching to them. And this girl said to me, this agent said to me, she says, actually, she said, that doesn't bother me. She says, if someone is nervous, I realize that writers are introverts. And that sometimes, and not always, but sometimes if they can't articulate it, it doesn't mean that the novel is not beautifully written. In fact, it could mean just the opposite, because writers are not verbal, they're writers. And
they're not orators.
No,
they're scribes. Right.
Exactly. And so I thought to myself, well, that's kind of cool. I mean, it's like these agents and these editors, they realize that if they're talking to someone who is nervous, that might be a good thing. And so, usually what they do is if you have researched the agent and you know that you're pitching a book that's a middle grade and that's what they represent, so you've done your research, the agent will say, you know, I want you to send me a query or send me the first chapters or send me the first 50 pages because I want to see the writing. And because sometimes they can't tell from the pitch. They only know what they can see and read. And so we try to tell the people not to be nervous. Get an idea of your book. Get the theme. Get the main plot. Don't worry about the secondary plots. Get the main character. And the other thing that I tell my students is spend some time and tell the agent why you're excited about this project, because that's infectious.
Absolutely. That's infectious. And the way I used to do it always is I would have like a three-sentence thing I essentially memorized. I would just have my basic, you know, getting the who, what, where, and why. And then I would just let myself be enthusiastic about it. Because almost every writer is. You know, when I teach classes, I have to often stop my students and say, okay, now don't tell me the whole story. don't tell me your whole memoir now. We don't have time, but I know you want to, and that's a good thing. And writers do. They're filled up. And that's one of the hard parts about writing the pitch, I think, is that for the author, I don't think of my story in a high concept, pitch format. I feel the whole thing in my mind. You know, and that's the way an author should. Yeah. But you have to go into this other mode, which is condensing it down to something a stranger could understand. But this brings me actually to the other thing I'd like to mention about that I found so useful about conferences, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say about that, is that the agents and the editors are often live somewhere else, or you don't get to meet them personally. It's all just done through emails or, well, maybe letters still, but mostly emails. And it was very important for me to meet them as human beings and see who they are in terms of their preferences, to know, just be able to meet someone and energetically know, ooh, that person is a good fit. Oh, that person says she represents what I write, but really meeting her, it probably isn't the right thing. I can just tell by who she is, it might not be a good fit, like you would when you're dating someone, almost, ironically. And that, to me, was very important. I don't know if that was true for you, but to put a human face on the publishing world and not just have it be this monolith, this giant New York monolith.
Well, I'm actually of the same opinion as you are, is that I think it's extremely important that you connect with that person on a human level, because you're going to be literally giving them your manuscript, and they are going to be then giving you feedback. And you want to have a relationship where there's mutual respect. You know, you're not looking for a best friend, but you are looking for a respected colleague where you're going to respect what they have to say. And you can only do that if you feel that they are on the same page, that they want the same things for your project that you do, that they have this, they respect your vision for it. And this is the same whether you're writing a middle grade or a literary fiction or a memoir. You know, you
Absolutely.
Have a reason why you're doing this, and you want them to respect your vision. And I actually, if I write historical fiction, and I don't write about a place unless I've been there, because I want that connection. And so, you know, that's just me. A lot of people do it, you know, different ways. But I feel when I have an agent, I want to meet them. I want to sit down and I want to actually have a conversation just to get to know them a little bit. And again, you're not looking for a best friend, but you are looking for someone who can respect what you've written and understand that. And then go to bat for you. Say, for example, because I did have the situation where an editor wanted me to change something, and my agent and I were on the same page, and so she was able to be in my corner. And I mean, those are invaluable things, you know. So to me, it's important. And again, this is individual, but that's important to me.
And that's why
we bring it at PNWA. We probably bring in more agents and editors than any other conference of our size. We bring in close to 30 agents and editors, and we do that. Because I want our attendees to have as many opportunities to pitch and connect with agents and editors as they can. And because our goal is to make sure that everyone achieves the success that they're looking for. And that's one of the reasons you do it. And these days, people are saying, well, why do we need agents? Why do we need publishers? Well, the piece is they still have a role. I have good friends who have agents who are hybrid published, which means they have both self-published books and traditionally published books. And they have an agent to look over the contracts, to actually help them maneuver when they are pitching to a traditionally published editor, but also to help them with the ever-changing climate in self-publishing. So it's another partner that you have in your business. So things change with the times, and our conference tries to be current and say, these are your options. If you want to self-publish, we want you to do it in a thoughtful manner so that you understand all the advantages and pitfalls, and the same with traditionally published options as well. So that's our goal, is to give you options.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of options open to people now, although I do feel that authors need to understand that when they do it themselves, they are becoming businessmen and businesswomen. Mm-hmm. They are starting a business. And even if you're published traditionally, you still are a bit of an entrepreneur. You do have to kind of market yourself. You still need to have a website. There's some things you need to do, but you have a hopefully a group of people who are doing a lot of the stuff that you aren't particularly interested in, like perhaps like layout and cover design and copy editing, and who are committed to it being the best product it can, because they make their money off of it too. Whereas in self-publishing, you have to hire people who are doing it as a hired gun, and they don't have the same level of their career isn't riding on it in the same way that an editor's is, say, at Random House or Dutton or whatever. Not saying you can't get good product through self-publishing, but it's a different relationship, and the author needs to have a different level of responsibility, I think, that not everybody wants. You and I know some people who do like doing that and are thriving in that, but their personality is such that it really is a good fit. And I still think that, well, you know, Pam, the fact is most writers just want to write. You know,
well, I have
just
a,
want to write.
One author who, they just want to write, and that I have a friend who is the hybrid author, and she says the best advertising that an author can do for themselves is to write their next book, so that you want to balance the writing with the social media, so you don't get too much into social media, which is a hard trap to because social media can be so much fun, but it's I think there's a lot of other types of publishing propping up that's called assisted self-publishing. So say, for example, you decide that you want to self-publish your book because you want a little more control, or you're actually you have a type of book that you think will do better as a self-published, but you don't know about cover design, you don't know about layout, and you want to make sure that you get it right. There's some really wonderful companies now, and PNWA, is a filter for those that can recommend them to you, that can actually help you through it. That they've done the marketing on covers, they know what kinds of layouts you should do. We have, again, it's basically what the author wants to participate in. But even if you're traditionally published, you want to develop a partnership. Traditionally published authors these days, they have to be very involved in the promotion, very involved in putting themselves out on blog tours and actual brick-and-mortar tours. So it's a,
that's right.
Regardless of what you're doing, it's a partnership. And
that's
a
right.
Conference or an organization can help you, so it's not so scary, so it doesn't feel so overwhelming, so it actually can be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's got to be
because
fun, Pam. We have only 2 minutes left. Can you believe it? This conversation. I know. So very quickly, I want you to answer.
Sure.
I've never asked you this question. It's time for you to answer it. If writing has taught me anything, it's taught me what? Finish that sentence.
It's taught me that there's still magic in the world. And I love meeting new people who are writers. I get so excited when I talk to people about writing because everyone has phenomenal stories and they all should be told.
I agree 100%, Pam. All right. Well, listen,
okay.
I'm going to see you in 2 days. Get back to work.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bill.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, so this might still be bye-bye. You still might have time to sign up for that. Go to PNWA.org, PNWA.org, and if you want to come down to the conference here in Seattle, you can do it. Next week, I'm going to be talking to Carl Kalaman. We're going to be talking about the difference between mind and brain. But in the meantime, there is still magic in the world. This is the magic of the writer. Your job is to believe in things that don't exist. Exist only in your imagination. And the more you believe in them, the more you believe that they are real, that all those characters' feelings matter, that your stories matter, the more your readers will. And then you will create something real, which is the exchange between you and your readers and the world. Believe in magic, because that's what art is, that's what writing is. Okay, well, I hope I see you at the conference. If I do, just buttonhole me, say hello. I'd love to talk to you. Till then, do what you love. Can't go wrong.